Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
Welcome. I'm your host, and this is Uncomfortable. Imagine, for a moment, an event so brief, so fleeting, yet so impactful, so frightening, that it robs you of a part of you and who you were. A moment in time so invasive that you literally walk away from a thing you've enjoyed your entire life. Imagine being left with daily reminders and never reconciling the cause of that event. Please welcome tonight's guest.
Angel, welcome to Uncomfortable.
Well, thank you for having me, Eric.
How are you this evening? Sounds like you have some birds in the background.
Yep, I do, but I'm very well, thank you.
Well, I'm glad that you decided that you'd like to sit down and tell us your story. Interesting conversations we've had so far. And
for sure.
So this event, let's go a little back before this happened. You were obviously in Wyoming.
I was on vacation in Wyoming. Wyoming.
Mm-hmm. And I assume from the photographs that you forwarded to me, the distance into the woods that you were camping, I assume that you were very comfortable and camped quite a bit, because that doesn't seem like
years before. We've been camping for years, so we would head off then to the Uintas. Mm-hmm. Wyoming,
and the Uintas are pretty much around the border along Wyoming and Utah, correct?
And Idaho.
Idaho. Okay.
No, I would be Utah. I'm sorry, Utah.
I thought so.
Yeah, we've camped more than once. Okay. But yeah, this time we went to the Uintas, which I didn't realize at first wasn't in Wyoming. However, it's so close to the border that we drove right across into the Uintas. So It would be Utah that we were camping in.
So you were very comfortable with the idea of going out camping.
Oh, absolutely.
Completely off the grid.
Yep, we have done it many times before.
And as far as, As far as the wildlife that you had encountered on previous camping trips, mm-hmm. I imagine you had a very good understanding of what kind of animals were in the forest that you were camping in.
Yes, absolutely.
And you were prepared for those.
We certainly were.
But then in 2019, mm-hmm. you decided to go back to the same place.
Yep. And my friend picked me up. We went to her house and we packed her camper. We went to the store and got everything we needed. Extra gas, chainsaws, food, all of it. Because we knew once we got out there that we wouldn't be coming back in. And we certainly had no cell phone service out there. So
yeah, it looks very remote from the pictures that you sent to me. I mean, it's an absolutely gorgeous
environment. Oh yeah, it's definitely remote. Mm-hmm. And you might see a camper here and there, you know, while you're driving around, mm-hmm. but it's not like your normal campground. Like, it was a whole nother world to me when I went camping there years ago for the first time. I guess I didn't realize that it wasn't a campground, that you haul your trailer in or your tent and you just, wherever you can fit in, you can camp.
So for the listeners, this is not a Wyoming-based KOA campground or large recognizable campground. You're out in the wilds.
As far as I know, what we did every year was we would stop. There's a, I don't know if it's the Forest Rangers. It's a building, and you stop, and then you write on a piece of paper, and you tell them how many people are going with you, when you plan to return, about how far you're going up, you know, what you're driving, things like that. And then I think you pay like $6 or $7 and you're good to go.
But you're providing an action plan for the amount of time that you're planning on being there. So somebody yes. knows that you're in their approximate location.
Yes. And some of her friends also knew where we were at, like knew where we would be mm-hmm. in the area.
So walk us into that day. Just, you know, let's start from the beginning. You know, what are you doing? You hiking? You just kind of hanging out?
We actually pack up and we drive until we find a spot, which we had found some, it was up a mountain and it was by beaver ponds and the terrain is pretty rough. So you can't drive fast, you know, especially hauling a camper. You are seriously going about 10 miles an hour. So it takes quite a while to get to where you're going. So we decided that we were going to camp at the beaver ponds, which is, they're like logging roads. So you drive on these roads and if, you know, there might be another road that goes off of it, that cuts off. They're just winding dirt trails. So we got our camper settled into the spot we wanted. And this was after the 4th of July rush. Like, we purposely didn't go 4th of July weekend because there would be so many people up there. Mm-hmm. So we went after the fact in the middle of the week. So we parked the camper in, and being two women, we just went ahead and did what was easiest, which was pull the camper right on down. So the truck was facing the wood line. And so we dropped the trailer and we set it up right there. And then we went and got our rocks and our firewood. I made a fire. We hung lanterns in the trees.
The picture that you sent of your fire, that one log that you had in the fire.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to know how the hell you guys moved that. That thing,
I'll tell you how
immense.
We got that. So we went into the woods, and what that was like the root and all of the tree. So what we did was, it looked like it had already been cut off at one end. So we just rolled it, you know, team rolled it down the hill mm-hmm. and across the path to get it to the fire pit. And we did that. We did not burn that until the second day.
That looked like enough wood to fire,
yeah, and
fire
it was because
for 3 days.
We didn't want to have to keep on going and dragging wood out and cutting it. Like, we're not going to cut trees down. So what we were doing, we're just taking down trees and we would yank them out and we would cut them up and use those, like the deadfall.
Yeah.
So that's how we made our fire. I mean, we just thought it was smarter to get the bigger pieces so the fire would stay going all night long. And we also put lanterns up on the trees. We hung lanterns on the trees around the perimeter of our campsite because we were two girls and we had her two children with us. So we made it as safe as possible. We used the bathroom and the camper. We cooked on the campfire. However, we washed everything up when we were done. So there were no scraps laying out. You know, we didn't have coolers out. We didn't have food out in the open. Trash, nothing like that. And that day we just kind of relaxed and went hiking in different spots. Found some cool rocks. And then we settled in for the night. And that night was perfect. We were pretty exhausted. So we went to bed kind of early. And then we got up the next morning and made breakfast, and we kind of did the same thing. We had to go to the stream and haul water up and heat that on the fire to wash up and stuff like that. And then we decided to go hiking again. So we pulled her truck out, which, like I said, we were pulled right into the wood line so we could hook it back up and just back right out when it was time to go. Mm-hmm. So we drove around that day and hiked, and everything was pretty great. And we drove to different places. And then when we came back, we went ahead and pulled the truck up in front of the trailer again and backed it in because we knew the next morning, you know, that we would clean up and we would head out. So that's how the truck got in the spot that it was in. So that night we made our fire super big and we had plans to just sit there and drink and visit. Well, a couple drinks in, like, we certainly were not drunk. A couple drinks in, and probably over a span of, you know, 2 hours, we had this fire going pretty well, and we had went ahead and put her children to bed.
So what time are we talking about now, roughly?
We're probably talking, this is probably about 10:30, 11 o'clock.
So it's good and
it's
dark.
It's late. Yeah, oh yeah. It's dark, and we were actually, like, looking. You could walk up on the one hill, and you could see the stars a lot better. So we walked up there and saw the stars. We weren't very far from our camp spot at all. Then we walked back down, and we were sitting around the fire laughing and giggling, and then all of a sudden, like, maybe butterflies. Like, I just got really nervous, kind of, or I guess uncomfortable or just odd feeling. Mm-hmm. And she was standing up. I was sitting in a chair and she was on the other side of the fire and she was standing up poking the fire. And then we had started our big log so we knew it would burn overnight. And so I asked her, I said, "So, how long do you think it'll take for this fire to die down so we can go inside?" And she went to say something. And then when she did, like, it started from, it would have been in front of a truck. There was this, crashing noise, like trees snapping and falling, but it circled our whole campsite within a matter of seconds, really. I mean, it was super quick. Like, I've never in my life seen anything like that before. So we couldn't see into the woods, but you could just see, like, it would be like, I don't know, like someone driving through the trees, you know what I mean? And they're breaking, and you can kind of see like the swoosh in them, if that makes sense.
So you were actually able to see movement inside the tree line.
Yes. And she hollered, but it was just for a second. It just started right where I was looking. And when she hollered run, like we both ran and went into the camper and locked ourselves in there. And we're absolutely terrified.
So it made it around the camp one time?
More? Yes. As far as I know, it was so quick that once you registered what was going on, like that fast, we jumped up and ran. It was super quick. So no, I didn't see anything. Nothing jumped out at us, you know, nothing beat on the side of the trailer, nothing like that.
But you're saying you were able to see movement of the trees that were snapping and the brush that was being bowled.
Yeah.
Over.
I don't know if they were snapping, but the trees, you know, how, if you were to like the bushes and stuff, mm-hmm. like you would see them, you know what I mean? Like something's running through the middle of them.
Yeah.
Like a swoosh.
What did you hear?
What did I hear?
Yeah.
I mean, a bunch of crashing.
Did you hear anything that you would have related to being what was causing that?
No. No, I heard no growls. I heard no screaming, no whooping, no nothing. It was just the breaking.
And we're talking
of the trees.
And we're talking a matter of seconds from...
Matter of seconds. That's what was so baffling to me. Like, now... She grew up out there. So, I mean, her parents camp for years. This is what they do in Wyoming. Like, they are campers. These people camp. And they all ride around with shotguns in the back of their trucks. And they're wonderful people. But they're very smart. And they're very smart when it comes to the land. Like, I would never go camping there alone. I would never, ever take my family and head off into the woods. Because I don't know what I'm doing. Right. Not out there. You know, like they do smell for bears, and they know where, you know, wolves or moose or elk, you know. Yeah, I would never go out there, but she knew what she was doing. And I had been previously before, like, she thinks of everything when you're camping. Like, these people are prepared.
And she flat out just called it. She said, run.
Yes. And we were both absolutely terrified. Like, we left, we had been taking pictures with our phones. Our phones are out by the campfire. We did not try to put the campfire out. We seriously ran and locked ourselves in there and thought, you know, like, I don't know.
What did you think?
At that point, I didn't know what really to think. I think I was more, I went into a shock. Like, I was so terrified that I peed my pants, you know? I mean, I was so terrified that I was shaking uncontrollably. Like, I couldn't, I don't know. Like, I couldn't really.
You literally lost control.
Wrap my head around what was happening. Something like out of a scary movie. Like, I'd never. Yeah. Yeah. And if, I guess, yeah, I was just terrified. And I don't know what it was. I don't know, you know, nothing. Like I said, I didn't see anything. No, it couldn't have been a person. I know that. I know that people can't run through the woods like that. There, like, there's deadfall and there's rocks and there's holes, and like the terrain out there is.
It's treacherous. You could break an ankle.
Yeah,
at
even
any
if
turn.
You grew up in the mountains, you certainly couldn't run like that. And you couldn't. No one. It couldn't have been a person, because it was dark, and where we were at, you know, you can see headlights coming in. So, I mean, so someone would have to turn their headlights off, you know, a mile down the road, and then creep into the woods with, you know, no lights of any sort to get to where you're going. That's stupid to think anybody would do that. No one would do that. So, and I know that, like deer and elk, And moose, I would assume, bed down, correct? I mean, I'm not a hunter by any means, but
in the evening, yeah, they're known.
Yeah, I would think they would bed down at night. And bears, I mean, there weren't any bears around that area. You can smell bears, and like, we had been all over that place.
So at the point that you started becoming nervous for no good apparent reason, you didn't know why you were.
No. At first I thought maybe because, you know, like when you're sitting there, you know, and like, that's my vacation away from my family. Mm-hmm. And so of course I miss my family. So maybe, you know, maybe I was thinking maybe it was that, or maybe it was because, you know, I was out of my element. Like, I'm used to lights and I'm used to cars driving by and I'm used to, you know, getting cell phone service and listening to a radio or.
But this is your second night out there, right?
Yeah, this is my second night out there. And
that would seem like an odd time.
And I can't tell you how many trips I've been out there before. I just think it's like a part of me being homesick, or, you know what I mean? Missing your family, missing your life.
Yeah.
But no, I don't know. I don't know why I got fearful. Like I said, I looked back and tried to think, okay, was maybe because you were missing everybody at home, or maybe because you couldn't talk to them for a couple of days because you were out there. Maybe it was because it was so dark, and maybe the realization that you're so far out there that if something, you know, were to happen to a tire or to someone, like, how would we get help? Mm-hmm. Maybe. But no, I don't think, I don't know. I guess I could try to rationalize it in my head. Like, I try to figure out what it was in my head looking back. And there was really no reason that we should have been afraid like that. There was really no reason at all.
It seems awfully coincidental that it happened moments before
that quick.
Moments before the crash, yeah. And thundering through the woods.
Yeah. And I did ask her when I was in the camper when there, I'm like, what was that? Like, what was that? And she's like, I don't know. And I'm like, what was that? You know, I just kept saying, like, what's going on? Like, what is that? Like, what should we do? What is that? And she's like, I don't know. We need to stay inside. Like, I don't know what it is. We had thought about leaving, but then, you know, the truck is at the wood line now from that day, because, you know, the next morning we were going to leave that day. So it would have been easier for us. So we couldn't, you know, if we were to get out of the camper and run to the truck, we would have to wake these children up, put them in the truck along with ourselves. Mm-hmm. Even if we left the camper, even if we left that there and came back and got it, we would have had to get in the vehicle. Someone would have had to walk, you know, to the driver's side, which is right on the wood line, which would have left me right on the other part of the wood line where there's actually like a river or a creek, or I don't think it's a creek. I think it's bigger than that, but, you know, yeah.
So your basic thought process, you're already determining that
we can't get out.
You don't want to create any more exposure to yourself outdoors.
Absolutely not. No. No. We wanted to leave, but we couldn't leave. And I guess we probably could have tried, but at that point, like, I don't know what that was that just happened, but if that's some sort of crazed animal, which I seriously doubt that, but I mean, how do you get out and get the kids and get everybody in the truck safely? If it can run that fast, I mean, it's certainly going to grab us running 20 foot from the camper to the door of the truck.
Can you guess about the distance away from you? Now, granted, you couldn't see it, but, you know.
It was just right on the other side of the wood line.
So 10 yards?
And so the areas aren't maybe 25? 20, 25? I mean, it wasn't too awfully long. mean, I guess I could sit here and try to give you an exact number, but I would be lying to you because I don't. I really, it was close enough. I mean, yeah, it was close enough, but it wasn't like 10 foot away. No, it was.
So what's your conversation that evening once you guys are inside the camper and the door is locked? And
well, I think we were just kind of looking out the windows. Like, we didn't have our face to the windows, but we had it lit up. You know, we had the lanterns in the trees and we had the campfire going. So we were just kind of like looking to see what, and I think we were just asking like, what was that? Like what's happening? Like, what do we do? I think we were both kind of in a panic to where we didn't know what to do. And I don't think anybody would have done anything differently. I think everybody would have stayed in the camper. I think everybody, if they would have seen how the vehicle was parked and that we couldn't get out, you know, without doing like a 20-point turn to get this thing out. And even so, no, we couldn't have. I mean, it's probably a good thing we didn't try to get the truck out because there were stumps. There were like tree stumps and big rocks. So we probably would have hit one of those anyway if we had tried that at night. So we ended up just, we had the camper locked up and we kind of just waited.
So I assume nobody really went to sleep that night except for the kids.
The kids were sleeping. I went to sleep.
You were able to sleep.
I don't think that I was able to sleep. I was terrified, like so much so that I know it sounds pretty crazy, but I think that maybe like the mental part to deal with it, I just shut down.
Well, I don't think that sounds crazy at all.
Like I mean, just laid there and just like passed out for a couple hours because I had never been that afraid in my life. Like I don't think I've ever felt terror like that. I know I haven't.
And that in itself, I mean, kind of step away from the experience itself for a second. The amount of fear that you were feeling. You've been camping before. You've been out in the wilderness. You're no stranger to these activities.
Oh, no.
I mean, do you have any kind of a inclination as to why you were struck with that intense amount of fear?
No, I don't.
That your brain basically burned out and you had to just shut down for a while.
Yeah, I totally shut down. I don't have any idea why. She did stay awake as long as she could, and I think she passed out eventually for a minute. And when I woke up, the sun was just coming up.
Now, at this point, prior to this experience, is Sasquatch or Bigfoot anywhere even on your radar?
Absolutely not. My oldest son used to watch Finding Bigfoot, all that good stuff. And I used to make fun of him and laugh like, oh, you know, whatever. My family are hunters. They're deer hunters here. My brother and dad and brother-in-law, they go on hunting trips and other states. I mean, I've pushed deer before. I have. Yeah, no, I grew up in the country. Like I grew up playing in a creek. I have spent many a time in the woods. I used to take my kids on nature hikes and no, I never, ever, no. And it's even to say it now is absurd to me. It's hard for me to wrap my head around that that could even be a possibility. But, you know, I left and went home, I mean, I guess I kind of like, when I left, it messed with me so bad that, like, I couldn't wait to come home. Like, I could not wait to get on the plane and come home. I was just, could not wait. And I remember, you know, I got off the plane and I was so happy to see my husband. Like, I was so happy. But then I come home, you know, and like you try to figure out what it was. Like, so I'm sitting here at home and I'm like, you know, maybe I'll just Google like what big animals are in Wyoming, you know, like what are their habits? Like, what do they do? Mm-hmm. And even though I know, like, I know in my head, I know that. And then,
well, I think it's smart on your part to do the work anyway. Because, well,
yeah, that, because that I don't want it to be that.
Well, but it, I understand the desire for it not to be that, but to eliminate other possibilities.
Yeah.
Kind of, I eliminate,
there's none of them.
It forces you to come to terms with.
Absolutely. And that's a hard thing to swallow. Like, that's really a slap in the face to realize that, you know, sitting up by yourself, because, you know, you have like this insomnia where you're up all night long until you pass out, you know, trying to function because you feel like you're crazy. You know, like, you really question your sanity. Like, I questioned my sanity for a long time. And then, sure as shit, you know, if I say anything to anybody, like, when I would reach out to anybody and just, like, just maybe just question it, or just, you know, maybe it's a possibility. Mm-hmm. People are like, oh, you know, come on. Like, are you kidding me? Like, and they laugh and they snicker, like, oh, you girls, you know, like.
Yeah.
It was probably a deer, or it was probably a bear, or, you know, no, it wasn't. And I get so upset, and just, I've been so pissed off for years, because now to some people, it's kind of like a joke. Like, I don't tell everybody, but, you know, it's probably like a handful of probably 15 people that I've made mention to, and everybody, you know, even my kids poke fun sometimes, like, oh, it's probably Bigfoot, you know, it's probably a Sasquatch. And that, it really makes me angry. Honestly, it makes me really angry, because, like, of all the shit in the world to lie about, like, if I, you know, I mean, I would have saved, like, a bear cub or something, or I would have, you know, wrestled a fucking elk. I don't know, but I know that, like, I know that it wasn't an animal. I know that. I know that it's nothing that I've never seen. I know that, I know what it wasn't. And to try to convince people that that's what you saw, you know, they don't believe you.
Yeah.
It's a slap in the face, really.
It is. And, you know, I've said this, and I've heard other people say this. It's like, you know, these people that come forward with these stories, these experiences, and, you know, they try to find an audience that will listen to them and not judge them for it. And it's very hard for them to find that audience. So many times they reach out to shows, you know, that are the precursors of why I decided to start doing this show myself, in order to give people a platform to be able to talk about these things and not be judged, but also get information from other people who have had similar experiences, and realize that you're not the only one. In fact, there are thousands of people in the U.S., let alone Canada, let alone other countries throughout the world. Most countries have reports of these things. And,
but if just one person could tell me for sure, you know, like, if just one person, if one person is right, then.
Well, and I guess, you know what I mean? I guess, like, what I fall back on is, would you stand up in front of a room full of these people who have said they've had an experience like you have, and tell them that they were a liar?
No.
You know, and I couldn't do that. Are there some people that look to find a few minutes of fame and, you know, try to get something on the news, that they got a Bigfoot body in their freezer, or, you know, some shit like that? Yeah. Are there producers out there who are putting out, you know, mountain monster TV shows and Finding Bigfoot? Finding Bigfoot has the four people that are in that show: Cliff Barackman, very science-based person, extremely knowledgeable. James Bobo Fay, Bobo from that show, sounds like a surfer dude. He's got the California slur
he's
to
very
his.
Smart.
But that dude is a very well-read individual.
Yeah.
Very experienced, very knowledgeable. A lot of people don't like Matt Moneymaker. Not a huge fan of his, because he seems to come off very aggressive and gruff and in your face. He's got a lot of years wrapped up into this. And yeah. I forget the woman's name. She's very skeptical, science-based. And, you know, the problem with those shows are that the producers have to get people interested to come back after commercial break. So they always come up with these little hooks to get you to keep watching. And at the end of the show, when the credits are rolling, you walk away being like, well, there's another episode, you know, another hour I'll never get back. But I still watch those shows for what they are. And that's a show about a topic that I'm very near and dear to. I'm disappointed on a regular basis when they take those production values and incorporate that instead of actually sticking to what's going on.
Right.
But there's a lot of people out there who are having these experiences, and not all of them are face-to-face sightings. Not all of them are, you know, oh, this thing stepped out from a tree and I saw it.
Right. And that's what I can't say. I can't say that I saw it peek behind a tree or swaying, or I didn't hear howls. I didn't hear wood knocks. I didn't hear. And honestly, if I would have heard a wood knock, I probably wouldn't have known what the hell it was anyway. Like I really, mm-hmm. you know, I would assume a tree was falling or something. Like I wouldn't have.
Well, that's kind of why I asked where Bigfoot was on your radar at the time that this happened, because I'm almost wondering if there may have been either structural signs that you may not have noticed, or signs, you know, vocalizations, or, you know, because they're reportedly able to mimic other woodland creatures, you know, like owls and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Do we know that for a fact? No. But do they pop up in reports quite frequently? Yes. In fact, my experience on the Manistee, we had owls, and then we had wood knocks.
Yeah.
And then once I went to bed and got in my hammock after a ridiculous failure of equipment, I'm hearing splashes in the Manistee River at 1:30 in the morning. And I'm like, well, could it be beaver or muskrats or, you know. Sure, I guess it could have been fish jumping, yeah. Mm-hmm. But these were pretty substantial splashes, and you know the river is moving at a pretty good clip, so it's got its own noise that it's creating as it's doing that.
Yeah,
you know, so a fish breaking water, or you know, maybe trying to jump out of the water and grab a bug that's on the top of the water to feed on it, doesn't seem like it's something that I would hear above the noise of the river itself. Could be wrong. Could all been natural, but you know,
owl, I don't think it was though.
You know, so I wonder if, you know, there may have been some things going on in the area that you just weren't.
There very well could have been. Like I said, there was, I don't think it's like a river. Yeah, it could have been. It was bigger than a creek, so I guess it probably could have been. I'm not sure what rivers go through there, but I know there was water. Like, we just had to walk across that little patch of, like, brush, and it was like a mucky, and there were rocks. So, and it could be because we heated water up to, like, wash up with and stuff. Mm-hmm. So we were close to water, and that was on the one side, and then...
So you're in an isolated area.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Wildlife abounds. You're right next to a water source.
Mm-hmm.
I mean...
We had actually... I have a picture of a moose I can send you. Like, when we took the truck out that day and drove around, like, we were stopping at different places. Like, there was a moose.
You know, a moose walking through the woods... His antlers are definitely going to come in contact with trees.
Right. This one didn't have antlers, though. And what did it do? Follow us back to the campsite? No. Like, we had two kids there with us. We're not quiet. Like, we were not quiet. You know, the kids are running around. You know, everybody's, you know, her and I are laughing and cutting up and carrying on and being stupid. So we weren't quiet. So if things were going on, I certainly didn't. No, I didn't even think about it because I guess my biggest fear out there was getting a flat tire and having to wait for someone to come get us, you know, having to wait for a fellow camper who decides to come camp, you know, a weekend warrior to come help us back into town. I don't know.
Can I ask, how old were the children that you had with you?
They would have been 10 and 13.
So, like, throughout the day, are these guys...
They're autistic, too, so...
So are these guys kind of just playing around the campsite, yep. Or are mm-hmm. they sitting on, you know...
they had a few meltdowns.
Digital device with...
No, we didn't have... We had nothing out there. I think there was a DVD player in the camper. But see, we didn't use the electricity all the time during the day because...
So they're just out having fun, making noise,
kids. We're playing in the water. They're running around with us.
You know, now there's a couple of points to this that really interest me. And you're probably not going to like when I bring it up. A lot of reports of these Sasquatch beings, watching from the wood line, watching children interact as, you know, playing and doing their thing. Probably an innate interest in it because they maybe recognize that same kind of behavior in their young. We don't know. Maybe it's something more nefarious. You know, maybe they... You know, they're looking at them as, you know, Rock Cornish game hens, and they're going to have them for dinner. You know, we just don't know. But the other thing is, with as many reports as there are of them observing children, there's also a large number of reports where women are involved.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I think without actually having to say it, I think you're... Your mind can kind of take off and run with that. If there's any truth to any of the DNA evidence that has been brought forth so far, with the DNA evidence pointing to these things having a human female DNA to within the last 10,000 years or so. The maternal DNA is human woman. Mm-hmm. The male DNA being that of something that in many of these DNA samples matches each one of the other samples, but there is no match for it in the gen bank. So they don't know what the male contributor is. They can't match that to anything in the gen bank, which has a gazillion samples in it. So, with varied reports throughout the world as far as the facial features and the structure of these things, some are more animalistic, some are more, you know, visually more like an ape, with a humanish nose. Then there's other reports of lighter skinned, lighter haired, some blonde, some red hair, some with faces that are easily recognizable of that of being human to some extent.
Yeah.
You know, so if they're breeding, would at any point encompass an actual human,
right?
It would make sense that their DNA would eventually start pissing out and becoming slightly more human than what they were previous. So, you know, the possibility of them becoming to appear in the face anyway, more humanish.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever, and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
But I asked you a question when we first started messaging back and forth about this. Mm-hmm. And I know it's a very personal thing, but I asked you if you could recall whether or not the time that you spent out there, you were your time of the month.
I want to say that I was almost done. So I seriously probably maybe just the first day we were out there, according to my planner. So
you know, and this is
so just been one day, you know. I was just finishing up with my period, so I don't know.
You know, you're married and you've dated mm-hmm. in the past, and you know, I'm I guess the point that I'm getting at is I'm pretty sure that most men listening to this will recognize that at some point during a relationship with a woman, when they're having that issue at that time mm-hmm. of the month, we are struck with the desire to still engage sexually.
Right.
And I wonder if that's a pheromone or a hormone or something that is put off by the scent, by the scent of, you know, what you had going on that possibly attracts them.
That could have been it. We use the bathroom in the camper. So I maybe have good noses. I don't know.
Don't get me wrong. I'm not suggesting, I'm not suggesting that
I didn't toss in the bushes.
You toss the stuff in the bushes. No, that's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is,
maybe you cut off a scent.
Yeah. That attracts males. I mean, because mm-hmm. I've been guilty of it, and I know other guys that have been like, you know, so, I mean, to me, it's quantifiable that, you know, I've experienced that. I know other guys have experienced that. And
yeah, we have too many kids to experience that anymore. We have Catholic insurance, so there's no shenanigans here.
So, like, you know, I just,
funny. Yeah, you
know,
we're done.
I'm trying to understand, you know, the whole picture of why your camp would have been of interest to them to begin with.
Either, yeah, I don't know.
Either, that's what I tried to figure out. Either you were too close to an area that they frequented. Mm-hmm. Maybe you were too close to an area that they had their young in. It sounds like, to me, it sounds very much like an intimidation display.
Because that's all that happened was just the once. Like, I wish I could say, like, oh, you know, I saw it. Actually, I don't wish I could say it went on all fours or anything like that, because probably really would have been a mess. But, I mean, I know what it wasn't. I know that, like I said, that it's impossible. No one can run like that fast. No one. No one can run that fast, and no one could run that fast during the day and be that strong to make that noise, you know what I mean? To break that stuff and to, you know, to hear to hear the woods just come alive. Like, that's what happened, like, that quick. But it was so quick. It's not like it went on for, you know, 30 minutes. I would guess it went on for, I don't even know. I don't know. I sound crazy saying it. Maybe 10 seconds. I don't know. It was quick.
And in that short of a time, it went completely around your campsite.
Yes.
Front to behind and around.
Yes. Because I don't, it happened very fast. And I mean, as soon as we heard the crashing, like it, see, as soon as the crashing noise started, like she hollered, run, because that's how loud it was. But it was more than just one stick. It was like a breaking noise, like a snapping, and it was loud, and it was like, you just, yeah, it would be like a tornado, minus tornado, you know, like.
So you're indicating that it wasn't so much the sound of bushes being rustled.
Bushes being rustled. You heard breaking. You heard
sizable saplings and trees, yes, being broke.
Yes. You heard, and like I said, in that part of the woods, like we had walked through there, in that part, there are trees down everywhere. Like you can't just run through the woods there. You're going to mess around and sprain your ankle. You know, you can't, I mean, you have to watch where you're walking. There's rocks, tons of rocks. Tons of deadfall trees that have, you know, trees that have fallen down. Limbs. Like, it's not like the woods here. You know, like, I can walk in the woods here and, you can kind of make your way through them. There you can't. Like, there's trees everywhere. And they just fall down, or, heck, I don't know.
You know, and
it's
for
different
the,
than here. It's not the, like a, your regular woods.
For the listeners, you know, you might be asking yourself, well, if the woods were so thick, how did you manage to get a truck and your trailer in there?
Well, there's spots that are cleared out.
Based on the pictures that she sent me, there's obvious areas where the trees had been cleared. There's stumps that are maybe 8 to 10 inches still up off the ground, but everything had been cleared out of that area specifically for the purpose of camping.
Oh, I'm sure someone's camped there before. I'm sure someone's camped there before. People camp there all the time. But it's not like, I just don't camp here. And then you have some, your neighbor, you know what I mean? You know, a stone's throw away. Like, these people camp. This is not the camping. You know, like, oh, let's, you know, go on a family vacation. No, they're camping in the mountains. They're camping. You can't, I mean, yeah, I could make it through the woods during the day, but would I go there at night? Absolutely not. Would I even try that? No. No, I certainly wouldn't.
So this happened in the summer of 2019, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And
in July.
And then you messaged me that your family gets together, mm-hmm, and does a camp out in the Manistee National Forest. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's up north. Mm-hmm. But I stay in a hotel.
So kind of...
It's at my cousin's house, and everybody camps in the woods there. I don't, and I won't. I'll stay at a hotel, and I'll drive there. I'll just drive back and forth. I'm not going to stay. I don't care if it's in our yard. I don't care if there's a road next to it. Like, I don't care. I don't want to camp. I don't want to go in the woods. Like, if my car were to break down at night, I would probably have a total meltdown on the side of the road. Like, I don't want to take walks in the woods. I don't want to. I didn't even... Like, I look sideways at the woods across the street from me now.
And I guess the reason I bring this up is not to punish you or to make you, you know, like, dwell in the fear that you have.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's important for the listeners to understand that this event that happened to you was so impactful that it has a lasting effect on your life. On your everyday life.
Absolutely, because I don't know what it was. Because it doesn't happen to normal people. Like, I guess I don't know who I expect it to happen to. Like, I'm just, you know, I work, I have kids. You know, we're probably as normal as you can get. Like, to see me on the street, you wouldn't guess. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. It wouldn't even cross your mind. And that's how I feel. Like, why me? Like, why? Like, how does it happen? Like, I'm not out looking for it. Like, I'm not, scouting the woods for odd stuff. Absolutely not. I wasn't before. And then I guess before I probably was like looking for rocks or sticks or something cool, you know?
Yeah. Little treasures in the woods that, to have a memory of your trip.
And I absolutely loved going out there. Like that was my favorite place in the United States to go. Like that is, Wyoming is the most beautiful state. It truly is. Like, oh my gosh, there's so many different places to go there, and it's absolutely beautiful. Not just Yellowstone, you know, everybody goes to Yellowstone, which that's great too. But you know, like, yeah, there's just so many wonderful places to go around there. And, you know, even into Idaho and into Utah, even, you know, it's just, it's really a, out West is beautiful. It's absolutely amazing. It's breathtaking, you know, and you just drive around in awe, you know, because there's so much. I mean, it's the most peaceful place ever. It's amazing. It's wonderful, but not anymore. I haven't been back since. I won't go back. I don't want to go to the mountains of Tennessee. I don't want to go. Yeah. I don't even want to go in the woods across the street from me, you know?
Yeah. So where are you where are you at now as far as your mindset, as far as what happened, and you know, after Googling, you know, the types of critters that are out there in that area where you were, you know, where do you fall now? What's your gut tell you?
I believe that Sasquatch is real, I guess. I believe that, yeah, it's certainly a possibility. Like it, yeah. Yeah. I guess I would have to believe that, even though I don't want to. I mean, it's something that I know. I mean, can I say 100%? No. No, because I didn't see it. But I heard it, and I felt it, and that was enough. So I would say that, yeah. Because there's nothing else that could be. There's really nothing else that it could be. Not even bears, you know? If that were a bear, come on. If it wasn't afraid of our bonfire and our lanterns, you know, I mean, well, but a bear is not that big. A bear can't break trees like that. A bear can't run like that. You know, a bear, I don't even think a bear can do that. I really don't. I know it can't. I know it can't. So I guess, yeah, if I had to say it's real, it's real. If I have to be honest with you, but you know, like, I guess what stops me from saying that it's 100% real is that, you know.
You didn't set your eyes on it.
No, I didn't. And then I didn't, but you know what? I bet my life on it. That's what I would do.
That's a pretty powerful
statement. Bet my life right on there. It, that I know what I saw and I'm not crazy. And you know, and that's the frustrating part is like when you try to talk it out, you know what I mean? Because it's such a messed up thing. It is such a messed up thing. And then, you know, the people that you try to tell, you know, like they may not like laugh at you. They may not say it, but you know, you can kind of see it. They're like, oh, you know, well, like, were you girls drinking? Like, yeah, yeah, we certainly were. We had a couple drinks. Absolutely. But that was over a couple hour span. And guess what? I know I wasn't drunk at all. Like, I know that. No. So if I could take it back, that'd probably be the one thing I wouldn't do is drink, just so I could tell everybody certainly, like, no, I wasn't drinking. But if I said I wasn't, I would be lying. But was I drunk? Absolutely not. Like I said, it's like two beers, like, come on.
Yeah.
And that was over a span of time. And we ate dinner, so there's that. No, it wasn't. And yeah, and I know that I wasn't, you know, I don't down beer because I know it's really odd, but like, I don't like cold beer. I like room temperature beer. I know it's like the craziest thing ever, but I do. I like room temperature. So yeah. So I know it took me a while to finish mine anyways. And I didn't even finish the second one, but no, I mean, I don't know. I wish I could say that maybe I'd want to be drunk. Like maybe if I were shit faced, I could make myself believe that, oh, you know, you were just drunk. You know, I don't smoke pot. I don't take any medication or anything. You know, like there's no, There's nothing that would mentally make me think that.
Do you feel you have some degree of like a post-traumatic stress?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yep.
How do you feel? I mean, early I could hear the emotion in your voice. You were starting to...
Well, because it makes me feel panicky. It makes me feel, like, nervous.
Well, and, I mean, I think that speaks to the validity of what you're saying. You know, I don't know if you've listened to my episode 2.
I did.
You know,
Yep, I did.
There again, in both.
That's why I look cross. I got the woods across the street from me, like, not going to happen. Yeah. Like, I look crazy when I drive through there to go to my sister's house in LaGrange, like, not anymore. Because I know that's on the way, you know?
Yeah.
And I didn't think that it would be, like, I thought that I was safe here. Like, maybe up north, you know? Maybe, you know, in the UP, I don't know. But I never, ever, ever would have guessed down here, ever. But I believe them. I believe every word they said.
Yeah, and the emotion that is in their voice, and especially what really hit me the hardest was when I was interviewing the daughters. Mm-hmm. Because at that point of the show, we had to take, it was either 2 or 3 breaks. Mm-hmm. Because the emotions were kind of welling up in both of them.
I couldn't imagine being babies and seeing that. I really couldn't. I couldn't imagine being younger children and seeing that. I really can't wrap my head around myself, you know, and I'm in my 40s, like, what? Yeah, I couldn't imagine being the father, and I couldn't imagine, no, none of it. You know, following you, but I believe it. I certainly do believe it. Yeah. I actually believe everything that I hear about that, because it's like, I know how outlandish this sounds. Like I know how messed up it sounds. But, you know, we don't know everything. Like, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I wish I did know, I guess. I don't know. Like, I wish I knew.
You wish you knew for the peace of mind of...
Just so I could... And probably say to everybody, like, ha. Like, I told you so.
Yeah.
You know, and I've secretly, like... I know it sounds horrible, but it's like, oh, I hope you guys are camping one day, and I hope something scares the shit out of you. Like, I really do. I hope something screwed up happens.
Well, I think that's a natural reaction to somebody that's, you know, not giving you the respect of hearing you out and accepting that you feel this way. They may not agree with it, but you should at least listen to somebody and give them the right to feel the way they do.
And they'll tell you that they do, like, but they don't. Like, they literally, if, like, everybody looks at me, like, I almost feel like maybe, which I know that they wouldn't, because maybe if they don't say anything, like, maybe in their head, they maybe wonder if it,
you know, like the
if it was real, or they're just going to say, like, oh, okay, you know, like, we believe you, just to, you know, surpass me, like, just so they can say, like, okay, you know, we believe you. But I feel like they don't believe me, mm-hmm. if that makes sense. Like, I feel like everybody looks at you, like, with this disbelief, you know what I mean? Like,
well, like, I think you have to take a look at both sides of it. I mean, one, you're asking somebody to believe something that's pretty fantastic. Not in that it's not true, but that's a lot to wrap your head around.
Mm-hmm.
Especially for somebody that maybe this isn't on their radar at all. They've never investigated, right, or looked into it, or ever watched a episode of Finding Bigfoot, or, you know, I mean, mm-hmm. But on the other hand, I mean, what purpose would you have for making this
exactly
up?
Right? You know, exactly. So. Because, and I'll be honest, like, if they told me something like that, I'd probably, like, I want to say I would believe them too, but I guess I have to look at it that way, because I'd probably be like, oh, okay. You know, like, I probably have some smart-ass comment, too, or something.
You know, and after several conversations with you, I had I think I indicated to you that shortly after those episodes aired, I had multiple emails, three of them, I think it was, in fact, one mm-hmm. from a gentleman down in Syracuse, Indiana, who was in the process of training a gentleman who grew up in the Cass County area.
Uh-huh.
And he was aware of reports of sightings in that area.
Yeah.
And two others that, one indicating the Cass area and one indicating the Edwardsburg area of southwest mm-hmm. Michigan. And then one specifically pointing out a large piece of property that's owned by a very famous cat litter manufacturer.
Yeah. I know exactly where that's at.
And that is not very far from you at all.
No, it's not. And you know what's funny is there's that's Cascader Road that's on. And if you drive down that and you almost get to Russ Forest and off to the left,
the house,
there are like three Bigfoots in the yard.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, and I am a firm believer that, you know, sure, there's people that enjoy the subject of Bigfoot, are interested in the subject.
See, I wonder, I took a walk one day down by the lake, and this man stopped, and we were just chatting. You know, I had a little dog, and I had my grandson with me in the stroller, and he was petting a dog, and he said, "Oh, you see my Bigfoot back there in the woods?" And I'm like, "Oh, okay." And like I said, we're in town, so like I saw his Bigfoot, and I'm like, "Oh, you know, so." You know, I tried to open that up, and yeah. Kind of got like maybe the feeling that it was just like a joke. So I didn't go any further. I was just like, yeah, whatever. But maybe he believes too. I don't know.
Well,
and
I think,
just keep it to the safe people that.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I think you're the first person I've ever talked to about it in detail since I've been home. One other person, but yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And how do you feel talking about it?
I mean,
is it a cathartic?
Actually, I mean, it feels good not to have someone like maybe poke fun at you or like that believes that it could be something that could happen, mm-hmm. you know, that it could be real. Because I really question my sanity sometimes, I think. But then in a way, it makes me feel like I'm sitting on the front porch because inside it's pretty, like, you know, I got the kids in there and they'll want to talk to me and, you know, carry on. So I'm outside on the porch, but like as I look across the street, you know, at the wood line, like it almost makes me start to feel a little panicky or a little like, you know, like it's getting dark and you need to go inside.
Yeah. And again, I think that just speaks to the
like
the,
I don't mess around outside. I'm not going to take a walk at night. I'm not going to. I really don't leave at night. I mean, sometimes, you know, if we're out and about, but I don't make it a point to like, oh, it's, you know, go on a nighttime drive. Like we went kayaking yesterday, on a lake here in town. And it's pretty wooded on one side. And I kind of thought about that too, you know, like, you know, like you catch yourself like looking at the wood lines, you know, like what's going on? You know, like,
I don't want to pinpoint the location, but were you on the, were you on the smaller lake or were you on the bigger?
We actually were on the smaller one. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. We're on the smaller one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That one is, that has got,
Yeah, we haven't been on that one. So that was our first time.
It's got a very decent.
They did a lot of improvements. Yeah, they did a lot of improvements, and they have this little thing up there where you can rent kayaks and like the paddle boat and stuff. So we took the kids to dinner, and all of us just were hanging out and decided to go out on the lake for a couple hours. I'm like, good idea. So that's what we did.
But even something like that, you can't relax 100%.
No, I don't. Well, if it had been me and my husband, maybe I would relax. But, you know, like we had two in the back that wanted to jump off. And, you know, they were so bored and it was so hot. And, you know, like if they pedaled, they were going faster and on, you know. So it was a big shit show. But, you know, it sounded like a good idea at the time. But, no, I mean, if I went with my husband, I would probably relax with him. But I wouldn't be, like, all up in the wood line, you know.
Yeah.
I would just, I guess, fingers crossed they couldn't swim that faster. I don't know. Like, maybe I could paddle faster than them, or I don't know. I don't know. But, no, I'm not comfortable around any of it anyway. Like, I don't have any use for it anymore. I don't.
You know, and that's the part of, you know, like, that statement you just made. Hopefully they can't swim that fast. I mean,
right.
That experience over 2 years ago has embedded itself in you sound like a very,
think about it every single day,
a very normal, very well-adjusted, you know, like you were saying, if you saw me walking down the street, you'd never have any idea.
No.
But you know, it's a powerful thing to hear somebody that it has affected them as much as it has.
I guess it's just really frustrating. You know, I really get pissed that, you know, everybody believes in ghosts, right? Mm-hmm. You believe in God, you can't see them. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you have the audacity to tell me that I'm crazy or, you know, that I'm making shit up, but you know what I mean? Like,
no, I understand exactly what you mean.
But that's okay, you know, for you to see your dead, you know, neighbor or grandma in the window or whatever. Which I don't mess with that shit either, but it's kind of like a slap in the face, really. Mm-hmm. Like
and that is something that a very large group of people feel whenever they talk about this stuff. That's why so many, why there's so many outlets that people come on and, you know, like my show, Sasquatch Chronicles. There's a handful of other really well done shows that, you know, tackle these subjects.
Yeah.
Some of them, they try to put too much of their opinion into it. There's a couple of really good ones that just let the guests come on and tell their story. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean.
Yeah, well, I'm not an expert by any means, and I had no intentions of telling anybody this ever. Like, I think I messaged you because it was like the cup, you know. So I like sent you like a message about that, but I had no intentions on telling anyone, really.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you decided to.
I think it's
important. Like John from episode two, it was several weeks after we had done the recording, and it was actually a couple of weeks after it had even aired, and he contacted me, and he was pretty shook up. He was actually at his place of business, and mm-hmm. he had been trying to listen to an additional episode that Shannon LeGros from Into the Fray suggested to him, because he and I appeared on that on her show, mm-hmm. and he was actually listening to that episode, which was the one that aired the week before he and I were on her show, and he told me he called me while I was at work, and he's like, "Hey, can you talk for a little bit?" And I said, "Well, I was just getting ready to leave for lunch. Let me call you when I get out in the car." And he was shook. He was like, "You know, I'm trying to listen to the show, and I can only get through like 10-15 minutes of it." Mm-hmm. I listened to a little bit of it last night. I'm listening to a little bit of it now on my break, and he's like, "I'm finally realizing that I have not dealt with this emotionally." And, you know, I packed it in because I had to take care of my family and I had to take care of my kids and I had to make sure this was safe and I had to put the cameras up at the house and I had to do this and I had to do that. And he says, mm-hmm. you know, 7 years later, he says, I'm finally realizing that I've never dealt with this emotionally of what it did to me and what I saw and the fact that it couldn't possibly be what it was. And, you know, I felt terrible because I felt like I reopened up something that, you know, he maybe would have been better off not talking about. And he he like immediately jumped on it, and he's like, no, he says it was one of the best things that I've done, is being able to talk about it and tell the whole thing start to finish.
Right.
And not have somebody, you know, judging me or rolling their eyes or, you know, making stupid jokes. And, you know, the daughters, you know, I got a hug when I was leaving their house after doing the recording, and they basically said, you know, it's just really cathartic that we were able to finally tell somebody this whole thing without being, you know, without our friends.
Right, because it's like a dirty secret.
Yeah.
Like, that's why I feel like it's like a secret that I have to keep. You know, and I can't talk to anybody. I can't tell anybody about it because they'll think I'm crazy.
You know, and I guess, you know, there's a part of me, I'm not an expert. I am not a psychologist. I am not anything with any kind of massive letters after my name. But, you know, like what I'd like to suggest to you is that even though it may, with as much as it's affected you and still does till this day, I teeter on whether or not I should suggest, you know, listening to some of these other shows that people like yourself mm-hmm. are giving their accounts, because one, it would make you realize that you're not alone.
No, I've listened to some of them. Like, I do listen to Sasquatch Chronicles and stuff like that, but even listening to some of those shows, like, I know that sounds kind of dumb too, because it's not me and I'm not there, you know, but I, like, when it happens to them, like, I feel really jumpy for them, like, run, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. or panicky, like, oh God. Yeah. It's just messed up, all of it. It's just ridiculous, and it's hard for me to wrap my head around some days.
Well, and another thing I was going to suggest, and I wouldn't have said this a year ago, because I had not been to any of these. But just this past middle of July, I took a vendor's booth to support the show mm-hmm. at the Michigan Bigfoot Conference in Ann Arbor.
Do they have it all the time?
There are several throughout the state, and there mm-hmm. there are several throughout many states, you know, through the year. And I guess what the positive thing of going to one of those places is you are surrounded by people who are either interested in wanting to learn more, having had experiences, looking for somebody to talk to about it, people who have been investigating this stuff for years. Are there some quacks? Absolutely.
I'm sure there are.
There are some. But the thing that I risk alienating some people here by saying this, but I think with anything, you're going to have people who are, you know, whatever the subject is, you're going to have people that are interested in it. You're going to have people that have experienced it. You're going to have people that want to experience it. You're going to have people that are, you know, trying to understand more about whatever it is, whether it's ghosts or, you know, rebuilding a car engine, anything like that. You're going to have a segment of people that are not normal.
Right.
Maybe take things a little too far, I guess is what I'm getting at. Exaggerate their interest in it. But by and large, the people that I met that day, and it was quite a long day. We started at 9 a.m. and I think we finished up probably around 6:30, 7 o'clock. The vast majority of the people that I had any contact with, spoke with at length, all very, very normal people, you know, and I think that's an important thing to get out there, that they're not a bunch of kooks. These aren't a bunch of crazy people who are
looking
for attention. You know, and when they go to these types of conferences, I think there's some confidence and some comfort in knowing you're around a bunch of people that are into accepting this type of experience.
Right.
And it might be something that you might find some power in by going to one and understanding that, you know, that's a place where, and you don't even have to say anything. All you have to do is look around and realize mm-hmm. that, you know, every person that's walking through here, and I don't know, you know, throughout the course of the day, I'm guessing, but I would have to say, you know, maybe somewhere in the neighborhood of 300 people throughout the day, mm-hmm. not including the vendors or the speakers. You know, and this last one, they had some great speakers there. Those halls with the speakers were chock full of people. You know, and you get everything from extremely science based, like Cliff Brackman, and then you have, you know, Igor Burtsov, who, you know, he's got his own take on things, and you know, I mean, you can find something for every level of interest that you have in this. And you know, maybe that's something you might want to think about going and checking out, just to let yourself know that,
right,
you know, you have a visualization of there's all these people here, and they're here for the same reason that I am. They maybe not have had an experience. Maybe they're hoping to have an experience, and you might look at them and think, you know, what the hell's wrong with you? Cause,
right,
you know,
exactly. No, I don't know. I don't know. I guess, I mean, I might think about something like that, but yeah.
Well, there is going to be one here relatively close to home coming up in September. And my intent is to take my booth and support the show there again.
Right. And where is that at?
It would be in Dowagiac.
No shit.
At Sisters Lake Brewery.
That's super close.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. I was like, oh, okay.
Back in, might have the date wrong, I think it was 1967, the Dewey Lake Monster. They had a, for the most part, better part of a year, some witnesses describing something. There are some, the thing that disturbs me a little bit about that subject, the Dewey Lake Monster, is there were several descriptions which relate directly to a Sasquatch. There were a couple of descriptions which made this thing seem like it was possibly more aquatic. In that it had like seaweed on it or some kind of moss growing on it, was wet, smelled stinky. So there's a little bit of a disconnect between a couple of accounts and the broader spectrum of accounts. But the Lost Cryptids Conservatory, which are the people that put on the big Bigfoot conference that I was at in Ann Arbor, middle of July, they're also the ones that put this one on. Hmm. And they've got a great group of investigators that are there to talk to people. They take accounts. They write down reports. And it's,
no, I certainly won't say it again to anyone.
And I'm not saying you need to. But to be around, you know, 40 to 60 people.
But, you know, I don't have like that whole woo factor. Like, I don't have it like, oh yeah, you know, it was 10 foot tall. And, you know, like, I don't know anything like that. Like, I don't know.
Well, I think the thing that you'll find, that you'll find is a lot of people. And I don't know why I keep getting, blessed with being able to talk to people who have not seen one, but have experienced, I keep calling it the peripheral effects of being in this, in the presence of them. My episode that aired, 2 days ago, yesterday, they didn't see anything, but everything that they experienced on their trip up to, Marquette, Michigan, camping with their family, everything points to, you know, a low rumbling growl that they felt before they heard it. Knocking in the woods, you know, everything points to, could it be something else? Absolutely. It could be something else, but what could it be?
You know, I don't know. The husband, I tried to figure it out.
The husband, they're at the top of Sugarloaf Mountain, and he's walking along the edge of the wood lines, looking into the woods, trying to figure out, because he's a construction worker. He builds houses, or is a handyman. He's trying to figure out who's hammering, who's pounding on wood out in the middle of, you know, the woods on top of the of Sugarloaf Mountain, because they're hearing these, what he described to be, I know what wood sounds like when it hits wood, and it was wood hitting wood. And then, you know, so, I mean, I think the peripheral aspects of your story are just as important as an eyewitness count, because people who listen to this and do decide to go out and camp in the woods and spend a lot of time outdoors, maybe it makes them a little more perceptive of their surroundings. Maybe it makes them a little more aware of what's going on. And if they hear something unusual, instead of just ignoring it and going on about with what they're doing, maybe it registers with them. Maybe it, you know, there's some connect there that they maybe, wow, maybe why am I feeling weird? Why do I feel like I shouldn't be here, but I'm ignoring it? Maybe I shouldn't. Maybe I should leave. You know, follow your gut instinct. I mean, I'm a firm believer in when your gut tells you something, follow it, because more times.
Well, I'm too, but my gut told me, and all hell broke loose. So, all within a span of 5 minutes, from start to finish. So, yeah.
Well, I want to thank you for coming on and having the courage to talk about this. I appreciate you choosing my show.
Yeah, I appreciate you too.
I'm sure we'll have continued conversations about this.
And, oh, absolutely. This and the rest of the shenanigans.
But if you are interested, I'd be more than happy for you guys to tag along with me, middle of September.
Yeah, I think that would be fun. And,
you know, just get your feet wet and see what it's like to be around other people who have had, if nothing else, a common interest, common point of interest, and maybe even get to hear somebody else with some experiences.
Well, that would probably be good.
Angel, thank you so much.
You're so very welcome. Thank you for having me on.
Have a good night. I want to hear your stories. I want to hear your experiences. So email me at contact.uncomfortable@gmail.com. If you like the show, please share it with your friends. Share it on your social media. The more people the show gets out to, the more experiences we'll have to listen to. You can like us on Facebook, or follow us on Instagram or Twitter. We have t-shirts still available. $25. That includes shipping to anywhere in the continental U.S. Until next week, stay uncomfortable.